All right, we're back again. This is episode 40-something. It's been so long ago, I don't even remember what episode we're on. It's not necessarily our fault. We like to bear hunt, and we've been bear hunting a lot. We had the 2018 Rock Slide Bear Camp. It was a huge success this year. We, I believe there was 13 guys. We took 6 bears. We had a few misses, but for the most part, very successful.
Did you say success?
Successful. My enunciation is always the best. It was fun. We had, like I said, we had 6 bears, 2 firsts. I got to witness 2 firsts. 2 people shoot their first bears. David DeAustin from Mountain Ops, he shot his first bear. Got to help him and witness that. Kelly Broker shot his first bear. It's beautiful.
I didn't realize that was Kelly's first bear.
Yep. First
Good
bear.
Good for him.
Beautiful. 6.5 foot. It's like a cinnamon, kind of a blondish bear. You have to check it out on Avery Adventures Instagram page. Just gorgeous bear. Everybody always talks about bear sizes and this, that, and the other. I would estimate he weighed 250 pounds. And we measured him. He was 6'5", 6'6", and just beautiful. Billy George shot a spot and stock bear, decent bear over 5 foot. Justin Crosley shot a beautiful chocolate bear with his bow. I believe it was his first kill with a bow, or sorry, not his first kill, his first bear with a bow. Had an interesting recovery, and I think he got all that and putting out a video. Be able to check it out on Rockslide. Jeff Brozovich from Long Range Only, he busted out the bow and arrow, and I believe he shot his first bear with a bow, which is pretty cool. Both those were off bait. Actually, I think 4 of the 6 bears were off baits. Some were long range baits, and obviously those 2 with Jeff and Justin were close range with their bow. And then the biggest bear, I guess the big bear of the 2018 bear hunting or Rockslide Bear Camp was Jerry Shaw. It was also his first bear. We had 2 other friends drive up from Utah, Shane and Eric. They put out a bait about 2.5 miles in. They packed in about 50 pounds each and put out a bait. And, they had to leave to go back to that dirty thing called work. And, Jerry Shaw reaped the rewards. He snuck in there the second to last day and shot a beautiful over 300-pound, 6'8" spring black bear, which is a big bear for the spring.
It had really good coloring too. That his pair was Kenneth and Kelly's were really pretty.
Justin and Kelly's. Jerry's was just black.
Oh, I thought it was. I guess no. I'm thinking of a different one.
No, it was beautifully big bear. And like I said, he was excited. So basically, 3 guys shot their first bears, which is always exciting. We did have a few misses, but that's bound to happen when you get 13 guys hunting bears.
Yeah. And a huge shout out to Adam.
Oh, Adam from Crooked Arrow Outfitting. He finally got tired of us living in his valley for the last 3 years. This is the 3rd year of Rock Slide Bear Camp. And he finally said, hey, guys, why don't you just camp with me? Because you're at least then we can get a game plan where everybody's at so we don't mess anybody else up. And it worked out fabulous. And if anybody's looking to hunt bears off of bait, I believe he'll do spot and stock too. Get a hold of Crooked Arrow Outfitters, Adam Johnson. He's a good dude.
I'll put his link up on our page.
Really good guy. I don't think he'll say he's 100% on bears, but I guarantee he's damn sure almost 100% on opportunity of seeing bears because they take a lot of bears. Besides that, we had got a couple questions on bear meat.
Yeah.
What we do with it. And do we. In the state of Idaho, you do not have to take any bear meat. It's just that's their rules. We choose to take the bear meat because we like bear meat. I think it makes the best summer sausage. I think it makes the best bear breakfast sausage. I'm not a spring bear steak guy. I'll eat fall bear steaks when I eat some huckleberries, but I don't really enjoy the taste of spring bear steak. And Tanya, you don't like the hamburger.
No, chewy. It's rubbery to me. It's too chewy. And the coloring is odd. It's like a grayish color. So to me, it looks odd if you try to prepare it in like spaghetti or whatever. Chili, you can kind of disguise it. And we've had a lot of people that we know that have pretty good success with using it in chili. Yeah.
I'd like it in spaghetti and chili.
Yeah, you do. I can't. It's weird. I can't do it. I can't do it in either one of those, really. I can do it actually in one of our friends makes a really good chili one, but I just think you need to, if you're going to use it as like a ground beef type substitute, then you need to make sure to grind it really small, throw it through a couple times because it is kind of got a rubbery texture almost. So if it's a smaller piece of it, then I don't think it would be as bad. But we mostly use ours for summer sausage and all that stuff because the consistency, it's kind of like you're not trying to force it into being something it's not. And it already is almost made to be summer sausage. And
yeah. And I want to say also, I posted that up on Instagram that we take the bear meat and somebody was basically just calling our bluff. And I'm not one to get on here and fucking lie to you. I think summer sausage is, bear summer sausage is the best summer sausage that I eat. I love it. It's greasy. It's perfect for summer sausage. It's a lot like pork and basically I just get into, we definitely eat it and we're not trying to fake anybody. I don't like spring bear steak. I don't think it tastes good.
I'm not going to say something that is like, I'm not going to, if I'm going to lie about something, it's not going to be whether I eat bear meat.
Yeah, it's people say, oh, you're just saying that to make it sound better. No.
And they obviously don't look at our Instagram because we had a picture not too long ago when we spent all day preparing all of that sausage and we had a huge cooler full of it. So if anybody wants to watch us take a video of preparing it and then eating it, we will certainly do that. But yeah.
We're not going to BS you. We ain't, I don't.
If I'm going to lie about something, it's not going to be bear meat.
No, and we don't eat wolves. No. People gave me shit about that. Once you skin them out and they stink, I ain't fucking eating it. You can say what you want about me, but we're not going to BS you about what we do. So.
Well, and I think the reason for hunting wolves is different than our reason for, I mean, we hunt bears for the meat and we don't hunt wolves for the meat. We hunt them because they're a predator. And
well,
truth
be told, I'd kill bears if we didn't have to keep the meat just because I think the predators in Northern Ireland need to be knocked
and they,
down.
And they are. That's true.
It's just an added bonus that they do taste great in summer sausage.
Correct. Yeah. And we are going to definitely, we like Stephen Ranella and his, I like him for the cooking aspect. I could care less about his show when he's actually hunting, although it does sometimes get entertaining. He did a scotch egg recipe and then he did bear bacon and I think he did a roast, but I'm not entirely sure about that. And I think that's actually a very interesting prospect because we like scotch eggs and I
just
think it'd be fun to try.
If that was his first take on those scotch eggs or this 10th, because those have got to be difficult, but they looked great when he cut into them.
So for those of you that don't know what scotch eggs are, it's basically I think it's soft-boiled egg because there is some runniness inside, correct?
Yeah, it's just a little bit. It's not a hard yolk, but to make it perfect, it's just got a little bit of runniness to it.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly the correct definition of what type of egg that is, but I think it's soft-boiled, and then it's wrapped in sausage, like ground sausage, and then it's breaded and then deep-fried. And they're delicious.
Yeah, we'll put that video. We'll try to find that video of him making those scotch eggs from the bear meat and the bear bacon that he made.
I think the bear bacon would require a little bit more work. Actually, I think the scotch eggs would be a little bit easier. But, you know, it's when you're hunting game, I think you just have to sometimes be a little bit creative on what you use it for. And actually gives us an opportunity. We're super boring and eat all the same things all the time. So it gives us a chance to kind of have to stretch beyond our normal eating habits and try new things with the meat that we get, that we harvest. And I think that's great.
If you haven't tried bear summer sausage, just something about it. It's just the right texture, the right greasiness. Mm-hmm. It's just delicious.
Well, and it's nice because you can make it spicy by adding a mix there's so many different, as I think this sport, you know, more people get into it, they you know, every time we go to a sports show, we buy the mixes to just try different flavors in it. And luckily we have some really good friends that like it as much as we do. So when it comes to processing, they're all in and they like it just as much as we do. So it's not
It helps to have a walk-in smoker. So
that does help. But I think it also helps just more hands on deck because those are big animals.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work and you got to mix it together. And I like it spicy, and the kids and Tandy don't like it so spicy. So we have to kind of make it.
The jalapeno cheese, I think, is my favorite because it's not too spicy, but just a little kick.
Right. Talking about food, the number one thing for a fat kid at bear camp is the food is amazing.
Well, if you're, with your bear camp, I'm pretty certain Ryan handpicked some of the people for their culinary skills in addition to their good people. But I've accused him not just one time of saying that he's handpicked all the cooks. He somehow manages to find friends that are amazing cooks, and neither one of us are. So we definitely reap in that skill set that they have.
Yeah, Crosley made some pork loins off of his, like a Green Mountain smoker, kind of like a Traeger, and they were delicious. And then pretty much everybody up there made something that was really good. And obviously Billy can cook. He made some, I don't even know what the names of them are. I just shovel them in because they're delicious.
Well, and didn't you say Shane and Eric made something that was really good too?
They made some chili that was delicious.
Oh yeah. So
we're not getting any lighter. I shouldn't say I'm not getting any lighter at Bear Camp.
Right. No, it's definitely, you work pretty hard, but then you eat a lot. So
shoveling the calories. We also have our bear baits out, and they haven't been as efficient this year as they have been in the past. We did have one opportunity, but I think we were moving around a little bit too much and we didn't have our blind right or our blind up at all because we forgot the cordage.
Yeah.
But we still have 2 weeks of that. And then Aaron Snyder and Frank the Tank are coming up
to do a
backpack bear hunt. We did the same bear hunt, I think, 3 years ago, and we saw quite a few bears. Billy George shot a cinnamon bear up there, and we're going to go hit that again. I think a 4 or 5 day backpack hunt should be a challenge.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it. It's kind of, we live in an area that we don't see a lot of the friends that we have met through rock slide and in the outdoor industry as often as we'd like. So when we get the opportunity to be able to go hunt and do stuff with them, I get super excited because you don't get to see them very often and they're so much fun. And that's why you're friends with them. So it's like a win-win. You're hunting and you're hanging out with friends. And
yeah. And I like the variety. I like I'm not going to lie. The Rockside Bear Camp is, we're all in wall tents and we're all walking, 1 to 5 miles away for bears. I like the variety where you go backpack hunting, where it's a totally different game. Everything's on your back. You see some new area. Everything you shoot's obviously coming out once you're on your back. That's why we're bringing Frank. He's going to be our little pack mule.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently he can make a bean burrito like nobody's business.
Make some torts.
That 3 years ago when we did that same backpack bear hunt, I enjoyed it way more than I thought that I would because I really hadn't started hunting yet and wasn't really super into bugs. So you brought the bivy for me.
Bora bivy. She really liked it.
Which is basically like a little netting sack that you zip around yourself in your sleeping bag. And that was a game changer for me. That definitely made the trip.
That Bora bivy is a good little, it's their side zip, has a netting. It's a good little bivy. Tanny doesn't like bugs, so it keeps them out.
Yeah.
This year we're going in. I guess we want to talk a little bit about why we're changing from the InReach to the Iridium Go.
Yes.
That's mostly a Tanya-based decision.
Right. It was. The text messaging option is great. And after we figured out how to, last year when we had used it, we didn't realize there was an option where you can, check it so that you make sure that the messages are more timely, because otherwise when Ryan would send a message, it would take like 20 minutes before it got to me.
Yeah, up to 20 minutes.
And then I would be responding to a different question that he'd asked, or he'd be responding to a different question because we're not, we weren't realizing at that time how much, time had gone by. And so that was super frustrating to me because I was, trying to ask him questions about, things going on at Rockslide or, what he thought about this or what, and so I was getting super mad. But then we, at the SHOT Show, met up with their guys. It was Josh, right?
Josh Mormon, yep.
Yep. And he you know, filled us in something that probably was written in the instructions.
Well, we don't read instructions. That's for rookies.
So anyway, he tuned us into that, and it definitely made a huge difference. But I need to talk.
Yeah, she wants to talk, and I'm a little hesitant because Tanya sometimes forgets we're on a sat phone and she just keeps on talking. But I think the reason you want to have more so, I want to have the ability to talk is you want to be able to talk to the kids when you want to talk to them.
Right. Right. And it's important. I mean, especially you can't get that time back. So when they're still, you know, living with you in your house, even if they're little or teenagers or whatever, the stuff that they are telling you about is super important in their lives. And you can't, it doesn't have the same impact on a text message. And I feel like if we're going to make concessions as a family for him to be gone all this time, that's my thing that has been since day one most important to me is communication in the field. And yes, it is more pricey, but all of you guys that come to Rock Slide don't balk at any of these crazy prices that some of these things require. And so I feel like if I'm going to demand one thing that is extravagant, I guess that's what's important to me. So,
yeah, cause I have no issues, and inReach, Garmin inReach worked perfect for me.
And it did work. It absolutely worked. And it's a great product and a lot of people use it and it works really well. It's just the voice factor that was an issue. Like to me, I could say what I needed to say in 30 seconds, but it might take me a minute to type it out. And sometimes I just need to hear his voice and I need to talk to him. And that was my thing.
Hmm. So I'm going to try to text
sometimes
her.
I don't want to hear his voice.
Yeah. Sometimes she goes dark on me, but I think how it's going to happen is I'm going to have that little Iridium go and I'm going to text her and then she's going to just say, call me. And I'm going to be like, oh God.
Yeah, probably, but not always. Actually, at Bear Camp, it wasn't too bad. I didn't feel like I really needed, nothing was going on. And this is our big joke that every time he leaves the house, something goes wrong. And it's not like little things, because that's easy enough, but it's like the furnace breaks down or, you know, like these things that
Rockside turns off.
Yeah, the website crashes and I need to really get a hold of him because he may need to come home and fix it. And and sometimes things happen and I don't know if they're, especially at the website, because I know enough to be a little bit dangerous about the website, but not enough to know if things are a drastic problem. And I don't have to say this, but I will, you know, when Rockslide goes down, people lose their minds. The thought of like having to spend an 8-hour workday actually working sends some people right over the edge.
Yeah. And I also feel like guys are, you know, they're also trying to sell stuff on there and you're not getting your messages and it is inconvenient. So we get that. So we try to keep it up.
So, yeah. And if I was able to, you know, just, you know, have him call me and be like, okay, well, this message just came across. Is this an issue? And then, you know, can tell me. But so I feel like some people that are like, oh, I don't need that fancy stuff. When I go, I just want to be by myself and nature. And I get that. That's totally great. And that's perfect. But in the job that I have, if I'm not at work, then I don't need to be in touch with work. But Ryan's job does require him to be in touch. So it is a huge factor for us that may not be for a lot of people. And that's great. You know, that's money you're saving to spend on boots, probably.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So back to bear hunting, besides that switch that we're going to make for the season, I've been testing out 3 different clothing lines that will continue throughout my whole entire season. But I just started testing out the Sawtooth from First Light, the Six Sight gear, which is still pretty new.
A lot of people don't know that First Light makes a woman's Sawtooth.
Yes. Sorry about that. I didn't say that. Yes, First Light just came out with a woman's Sawtooth version. So I'm testing that out. The Six Sight, which is from a company owned by Navy SEAL.
Ex-Navy, or former Navy SEAL.
Former Navy SEAL.
He's a good dude out of Texas.
Super nice guy. We have run into him several times. We've had a really heavy show season this year, which I think was good in a lot of aspects because we really got to check out a lot of stuff and get to really see and talk to a lot of people that we hardly get to see. So that was really good. So I picked up a jacket and a set of pants from his line. Just a disclaimer, they aren't making women's stuff, or they weren't. I bought it when we were in January.
Yep.
So at that point, they did not have women's stuff yet, but it actually fits surprisingly well. And what I liked about it was it felt like it would be super quiet. So I thought that that would work really well for our bear season. And the it's all made in the U.S.
Yeah, it's actually sewn in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah. The stitching is immaculate.
Wait, I don't think the material is made in America.
No, it's assembled.
It's sewed in America.
Sewed in America.
So just to make that correct.
Yes.
And you can tell when I saw the stitching, I even brought it up in the video I did with Stephen Hawley's his name.
Yeah.
Good dude. You can tell that I get to see a lot of different clothing, a lot of different stitching, and their stitching jumps out. It is a well put together piece of clothing.
Yeah. I'm not in love with the camo pattern, but it looks like they're coming out with some different, they had a different camo pattern when we were at the NRA in Texas that we saw. So hopefully they'll be coming out with that a little bit more. I think it would fit really well in the desert areas. It just did not fit super well in North Idaho, but we have a ghost blind, so it wasn't really an issue for us.
Yeah. And they do need, they are working, they do need to work on little, you know, little things like the cuffs on their sleeves, some of the cuffs on their pants. But overall, I think it'll be a competing brand going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then Jordan Budd and I are doing we wanted to do some specialized reviews. And by that, I mean, instead of like a whole line of like Sitka, we're going to do just certain pieces to put more focus on the pieces themselves instead of just the whole entire line that they maybe have put out. So she's going to be doing the Fanatic jacket, I believe. And I'm not sure all the pieces that she's doing, but they're going to be separate individual.
In the Apex line, I think.
That's too. Right, the Apex line too. So we started a thread on Rock Slide about that. And then I'll start one on the Sawtooth, but I'm going to be focusing more on the Sitka base layers. So I'll be wearing them with Sitka and probably with the Sixth Sight and First Light just to mix it up and see if I can tell a difference. But who knows? I don't know. We mix up our camo all the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing with Rock Slide is you can't trust somebody that just wears one camo brand because they're kind of biased. So, and I'm not saying they're all biased, but if a guy's wearing or a gal's wearing one camo brand and telling you it's the best, I'd be a little suspect. To me, I don't think one clothing company makes the best total kit. I think you got to take bits and pieces from all over. I've been using the Cryptic Altitude mixed in with several other brands. And I will say, coming away from what I've used, I haven't used the rain gear that much yet for the Altitude rain gear, but those Tora pants are amazing that they have. It's their lightweight pants. There is a few things that I would change on it, but it's not necessarily the fault of Cryptic. I have stubby legs and need to adjust, so I may have them alter a little bit.
It's the fault of genetics.
Yeah. God built my ass too close to the sidewalk.
But that camo pattern is amazing. It works so well for up here in the Northwest. It's shocking how well. I mean, it blends right in the shadows, and which there's a lot of those.
Yes, that Altitude camo is just dead sexy. I had a rifle dipped in it, and just it doesn't look like a standard camo pattern.
No,
when you look at it, it looks kind of
more digital almost.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it. It looks like almost flowery. It's just hard to describe. But anyways, the Tora pants is shoulder fabric. All of the Altitude line is basically shoulder fabric. And they're doing a wet printing. I did a video with Butch not too long ago on how they put on the camo pattern. And it's pretty
it's cool. Innovative. It really is.
Very innovative. It's good stuff. The Tora pants, I used the Gar Puffy. I really like their Gar Puffy. The only knock on that is I really wish it had a hood. If it had the hood, it would probably be my favorite.
I'm only laughing because Ryan told them this in the NRA. He's like, It's always like that complaint that the company hears, that the one person says, oh, if you just had this, and it's like, if, and everybody says that it's like the one thing that it doesn't have, people are going to want it to have.
Yep. My favorite, I can't say, it's just a good, the gar is a good piece, super warm. Whatever they put on, even their soft shell stuff, whatever the DWR, it's amazing. It keeps the water off for a long, long time.
Well, for you to say that, it's pretty surprising, because in North Idaho, sometimes it's like just standing under the shower with the rainfalls.
Yeah, I had on their I cannot think of the name of their Bora, the Bora, their soft shell. And I was amazed at how well it kept the water off for not being a rain jacket. It is loud, and it's not the warmest soft shell that I've used. It's not, but for keeping the water off of you and looking good, it's a good looking jacket. It's amazing. But is it worth that price tag? Not the soft shell. I don't believe it is. Those pants, the Tora pants, the Guard Puffy. Yes, I believe they are worth the money. And people always balk at the prices, but then I see them buying this, that, and the other that are just expensive in a different category of hunting products.
Right, like new binos every year.
Yeah, new binos, new bow. You know, bows are $1,500 now. So it is worth the price you want to pay for it. Don't let other people tell you what the price should be.
For the type of hunting that you do.
Yeah, and they designed this for the higher-end crowd. Cryptic's got some great, I mean, great mid-range products. This design is, this is their elite design, and the price tag represents that. And that Schuller fabric with that wet pritting is not cheap. Is it the best on the market? I don't know. I'm not the one to say that.
It's only the best if it's the best for you.
Yeah, those pants, I think those are going to be my favorite pants, the Tora pants. They're just, I will get them altered to fit me a little better, but I like the flex. I like the feel. They have sides vents in the, it's a pocket side vent.
And they're so sexy, babe.
Yeah, there you go.
For when you have to do those selfies?
Yeah, there you go.
Spot on.
That's why I wear them. Yeah. Not the fit and function. It's the sexiness.
No, it's the selfies that they allow you to take with the good lighting.
Yeah, those are good. I still love that Sawtooth from First Light. It's still probably the jacket that I'll wear the most. And there was a guy, I cannot think of his name, I'm sorry, on Instagram. I believe his name was Abe something. He asked about the MPR from Christensen Arms that we were hunting with. I am reviewing it. It's just taking me a little longer than I anticipated, but it's a great rifle. It's in a 6.5 Creedmoor. If Tanya does shoot a bear off the bait, it will be with that rifle. Mm-hmm. And I've stretched it out to 1,200 yards using prime ammo, and it's worked great. So it's a Christensen Arms MPR in 6.5 Creedmoor, and it has a Swarovski X5 on it.
Yes, I like that gun actually a lot. So I've started to think about doing competitions. So the other day at the range, just for fun, we decided to do a little mock competition and see how fast I could get down and get the targets in my sights and shoot. And that gun and the scope, I just really like. I like the X5. That's been my favorite scope that I've used. And we've tried on a few other ones, and they haven't quite worked for me as well as the X5. I didn't really care for them. I think that's going to be, I'm excited. I like to shoot that gun, I guess, in a roundabout way. Yeah. Yep. I mean, we've tested other guns. That one feels good. It's not like too much for my frame.
No, it's just, it fits her well. It's really adjustable. It's pretty lightweight. That's probably my only knock on it is Christensen Arms is one of the biggest manufacturer of carbon products. They could make it if it was a pound lighter, which, you know, everybody wants lighter, but I think they truly could make the lightest chassis on the market. But as far as adjustability thought, it's pretty light, all scoped up. It's like 8.5 pounds, which is okay. I mean, there's lighter guns out there. Cooper you're using was lighter than that.
The Cooper was lighter than that, but honestly, I would rather have a heavier gun. I mean, obviously the scope weight was an issue for a lot of people, but I would definitely take the heavier X5 scope over.
She does not like the Husqvarna glass.
No, I can't see through it. I may be blind, but no, it didn't work for me. If it works for you and you've got good eyes, God bless you. You're awesome. But it didn't work.
And I want to say that as a fact of Tandy had no idea what scope was which. And
no, I didn't even know he switched it on me. He does that all the time.
If you listen to any other podcast, we were deer hunting and she wouldn't look through that scope and said, what the hell is wrong with this scope? And I was like, what's wrong? She goes, it's foggy. So I thought, oh, well, maybe the lenses are fogged up. And I looked through it and nope, it was just...
Well, and it was snowing sideways when we were up there. So I really thought it was fogged up and I couldn't see through it. I mean, I couldn't even tell if this deer that I was trying to find had horns or not. Like, I couldn't tell the deer from like a stump. I mean, I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but, and it probably was the snow sideways. Yeah,
well, there's just in the Husqvarna, and don't get me wrong, we killed four animals with that scope that year and it dialed perfect. But there is, like, in some atmospheric conditions, there's like a sheen to it that I don't know why and I can't describe it, but it has that in there. And I've heard other people tell me the same thing. Right. So the X5 doesn't have that.
No. And it's as a couple, we fight sometimes. And so he was looking through the spotter and he was able to see, he had, a wider field of view than I had. So he was able, and he has way better eyes and he's a better spotter. So he was able to see things. And then when I wasn't able to see them at first, eventually, I finally got it figured out and did better. But, I was getting frustrated. He was getting frustrated because he couldn't figure out what my problem was and I couldn't figure out what my problem was. And it was luckily the deer made us wait for it.
Yeah.
A long time.
I'm not saying I'm better than Tanya. I'm not saying I'm worse.
You are.
There was plenty of times where I could have shot the deer in its bed and she couldn't basically get through the brush to figure out where the deer was laying, which way it was laying. So she made the right call. We waited till it got up several times and several hours later, but we made it happen. And it's not a knock on the Husqvarna. The Husqvarna dials perfect. I've tried to make it not dial. I've tried to break it. It's just, it does have a weird sheen. So
well, everybody sees things in a different light. Like one thing will work really well for one person and not work really well for another person. So if it works for you and you like it, then great. Use it because it's definitely lighter.
We went down our off topic.
Yeah, we did.
And the other question was the other day was, are you still using your 12x50 ELs? Yes. I think they're the best binoculars on the market still.
All right.
So,
and we did just do, we did just put up a picture of checking out the Nikons and versus the Swarovs and,
that was the Leicas versus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. The Leicas versus the Swarovs. And that was actually surprising.
Matt's doing a review. We threw him up to it's interesting.
Our uneducated eyes.
Matt will tell us why our nerdy eyes or our amateur eyes are wrong. But if we want
to. Or right.
I don't know if we want to talk about that real quick. I guess we can because we're already so far off topic. But Tanya, you preferred the Leicas, you said, over the Swarovskis.
Well, they definitely had a bigger field of view.
Me looking through them with my. Matt would say untrained. He wouldn't say that, but
he's way nicer than that.
The Leicas, in my opinion, were brighter and had a way bigger field of view. Both are 10x42. The Leicas were the Noctavid 10x42s, and then there we go against Tanya's EL 10x42s.
I still would take the ELs over the Leicas only because it gives you the. I mean, I honestly like switched them back and forth. I couldn't tell the difference besides the field of view was a little bit bigger, but if I was planning on, hand holding them to glass for a long period of time, the ELs are just extremely comfortable to hold.
Ergonomics wise, the ELs win.
They do. They do overall, and if I was to use a tripod to glass, then either one would be fine. But I definitely think that the way we hunt, we're not going to always have the tripod. And so I would probably go with that one for that reason.
Yeah. So that.
Because like I said, they were really close.
Yeah, they are really close. I was just going to say that the Leicas, in my opinion, are brighter. And we had them right before dusk. We were out there right before I knew it was getting dark. They have a bigger field of view. But the reason and this is a personal thing, and this is eye to eye dependent. I like the color tone of the ELs. They just have a I say it's yellow. People argue with me all the time. It's just a better color, and the ergonomics win hands down. If you bought either pair, you're going to be happy.
Yes, absolutely. And you say that we got off topic, but we really didn't, because we're still talking about stuff that we'll use this year.
No, I definitely. The 12 by 50s, until the only way I think I'll break off a 12 by 50, I'm not saying they always have to be Swarovski, but in my opinion right now, the 12 by 50 ELs are the best on the market for me, is if somebody came out with a really good pair of 12 by 50 range finding binoculars. Mm. That would probably be the only reason.
That aren't super heavy.
Well, they can't be super heavy, but if they were...
If they're like a unicorn of a bino.
If Swaro makes a 12 by 50 EL with a rangefinder, not only... I will figure out a way. I know they'll be like $12.5 million, but I'll figure out a way to get them if I got to sell your kidney.
Sell my kidney? I don't like how this is going.
So that is it. I guess one thing I wanted to bring up is about a month ago.
One last question.
About a month ago, me and my buddy Caleb Hollett, we started importing Bertram brass to the United States. I've been using Bertram brass, my 300 Ultra 338 Edge, for the last 5 years. Yeah, I like the way it's about a perfect consistency of hardness, but not being too hard. I like the way it keeps primer pockets. Anyways, we started importing that. It's under Bertram. You can find it at bertrambrass.com. We have a lot of hard-to-find cases on there. We will have 28 Nosler back in stock next week. But anyways, if you would go check that out, I would appreciate it.
Bertrambrass.com. And they have an Instagram page to kind of keep you updated on different things.
And a Facebook group.
So
that's my only ad for the podcast.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. As always, you can find us on YouTube at Avery Adventures, AveryAdventures.com, and on Instagram at Avery_adventures.
And as always, I'll put up all the stuff we talked about, the links for that on our website. So if you have questions about anything we talked about, the links will be up there.
Don't forget the Scotch egg recipe from Steve Ranella.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I can find that, it'll go up. So absolutely. Sometimes I can't find links. They're not up there. So I do the best I can, and that's it.
Yep, and we're also getting a guy to actually start editing our podcast, because we have a lot in the queue, so we'll be a little more consistent, but we appreciate the patience.
Yeah, we found a way to be able to keep podcasting and hunting.
Yeah, cheat code.
Cheat code, hashtag.
Thanks, guys.